I tell you, I've got so much. That doesn't shock anybody. I've got so much. I've got to just dive in. Are you ready? Okay, I'm going to share some testimonies. This is about the Word of God. I can't get over it. And if it happens, we're believing for Pastor Tony to be in the pulpit next week. But if it happens that he needs another Sunday, it don't shock you. I already got a part three. Okay, so we'd be good to go anyway. But we're believing the best. Amen. Jeremiah 31:3 says this, and I don't think this is in your notes, so I'm just telling you, you can look this up later. But he draws us by his loving kindness. His love draws us. That's Jeremiah 31:3. But I want to tell you, New Testament brings out it's by his love, okay, that he draws us. By his loving kindness, by his good works, his love draws us. He courts you. And so understand, no matter where you are, whether you're in a honeymoon phase with the Lord or you feel like you're displaced, I want to tell you, the love of Jesus is drawing you this morning. And so that's why it's important for us to have that right mindset. And, you know, we give you these confessions of a new creation. They're just right out of the Word of God. We've personalized them. The Holy Spirit allows us to do that because he helps us with that. But they're personalized. And you know what? They're not just to take up space in your newsletter or your bulletin. You know, they're an opportunity for you to apply the Word of God, embrace the Word in your heart, and apply it to your life. And the way we do that is by meditating on it and by confessing it. And, for example, one of the, you know, Acts 13:39, this is out of that, I've been freed from all things. Now, that's very, very powerful when you're applying the Word of God to your life, when you're feeling like you're in a tug of war, when you're feeling like you're being overwhelmed or surrounded. You can confess the Word of God, it's the sword of the Spirit, that I'm freed from all things. And you know what? That you're among the called of Jesus Christ. That's out of Romans 1. Romans 1 also says this, Romans 1:7. I am beloved of God. It's important that you recognize and practice knowing in your knower, confessing it with your mouth, meditating on it in your heart, that you are beloved. You say, well, why is that term so important? Listen to me. This is what Father said about Son Jesus. This is my beloved in whom I am well pleased. Now I want to tell you, because of Jesus, this is what's being brought out here by Paul, the same way, the same level that he loved his Son Jesus, he loves you. You are called beloved. Same level, same depth, in the same way. Now when you see yourself loved by the Father as much as he loves Jesus, I want to tell you, that makes a tremendous difference in your life. That takes away a lot of the leverage of the enemy in your life. And so that's why it's important for us to confess the Word. And I covered a little bit before this sermon started, there's a little difference between your confession and your profession. It's all right to confess. We never told anybody not to confess their sin. That's okay to do. But you also need to profess your righteousness. Okay? Lord, you're right. My attitude stunk on that. Lord, I surrender that to you. I profess that I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. I profess that I walk in your liberty and freedom. I profess that there is a power source within me which is able to do abundantly beyond all I ask or think. And that even means my attitude. Somebody say amen to that. And so this is why it's so important to profess. It's all right to confess, but it's very important to profess. Somebody say amen to that. Okay, and so I'm just going to give you a couple little examples about how this little tool, let this be a tool and not a rule. That's been my theme here recently with pastors. Let it be a tool and not a rule. But let it be a tool for you, and let the Holy Spirit minister to you about how to apply it to your life. Sometimes, you know, we got the term up there, it is written, because that's what Jesus said. When the enemy was tempting him, he said, it is written. He declared the Word of God. That's all right for us to do if Jesus did it. Amen? And at the same time, we say, you know, you can start it out by saying, thank you, Lord. He loves his Word. And so I want to tell you, when you're loving his Word and thanking him for his Word, I want to tell you, you're blessing him. You're actually ministering to him. The Creator himself, you're ministering to the Father, to Jesus. And so it's all right to bless the Lord. And so, you know, it is written. Thank you, Lord. You know what? It's very, very powerful for you to say, I believe. Because the Bible says that we believe, therefore we speak. And so it's important for you to confess with your mouth what you believe in your heart. That's the way you received Christ. Well, it's a spiritual principle that goes throughout your whole life. As you receive Jesus Christ the Lord, so walk in him. Same way. You believe, so you speak. There's a lot of power in that. And so I'll give you a little example here. At one time I was in a certain denomination, and they were using me to help start youth ministries and train youth pastors. And, I didn't know it, but they would also send me to churches that were having a little trouble. You know, churches can have trouble. Well, thank God we're not. I mean, we believe in peace and walk in peace, but I'm telling you, just like your family can have a little trouble, church families can have a little trouble. And it's just because there's humans in there. Don't let humanness offend you. But it went like this. They sent me to a place, and it was down in South Texas. I mean, I drove quite a ways to get there. And when I got there, it was a night service. And when I got there, you know, I'm kind of thinking, this is kind of out in the country, and it may not be a very big crowd, but, man, I'm so excited to go minister to these folk. I didn't have a clue what was going on. When I drove up, the parking lot was full. Well, I was excited. Woo! Hey, this is going to be a good meeting. I walk in and you could feel the bitterness, the anger, the disturbance, atmosphere. How many of you know that every church has an atmosphere? I want to tell you, there's a sweet atmosphere in this place. That's because of Jesus, and we want to keep it that way. Your home has an atmosphere. Well, I'm going to share with you in the near future about how that you can change the atmosphere of where you are because of who he is in you. And I want to tell you, every individual has an atmosphere. You know, businesses have an atmosphere. And so I'm just telling you, it goes right along with attitude. But I'm telling you, this church, the attitude, the conflict was on. They were fussing and fighting, and everybody came to represent their side, and boy, they were out for bear, so to speak. Well, man, I walked in and sensed, uh-oh. I went for oh boy to uh-oh. And then I thought immediately, you know, this denominational leader didn't give me a clue, you know. He probably was afraid I wouldn't go. But anyway, when it came time for me to get up in the pulpit, I got up, and of course I'm crying out to the Lord, Lord, what do you want to do? What do you want to do? And you know what he had me do? He had me to start confessing the power of the word. I just started going through it. I told them all. I said, this is what the Lord's told me to do, so I'm going to obey God. I'm going to confess his word, and you repeat it after me. And so I just began to go through them. And at that time, I had them memorized. So it was pretty easy for me to do. And I started out by saying, I'm loved by the Father. I'm loved by the Son. And, you know, they would repeat it. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. I'm complete in Jesus. I have peace. I have his joy. I'm full of his grace. And so I began to just walk through those. And you know what? I did this for about 15 minutes. Now, I want to tell you how powerful the Word of God is. It's like a filter, my friend. The Word of God is like a filter. You know, filters, they've got filters now that can cleanse the air in a big building. You may have them in your house. I do. I believe in that. But I want to tell you, the Word of God is a filter. It's not only a filter for your mind. It's a filter for the atmosphere of your home, your business, your church, right? And so I want to tell you, it's powerful. The Word of God is powerful. And by the time I finished in 15 minutes, there was a change of atmosphere. And you know what? By them confessing the Word of God, I want to tell you, it released the powers of heaven in their behalf. The Word of God's powerful. And I want to tell you, I can't tell you right now. I've got other things to share, but I'm just going to tell you this. Revival broke out that night. It was a long meeting, and it wasn't because of my sermon. Are you shocked? I'm just telling you. It was a long meeting because people were weeping and getting right with God and getting right with each other. And nobody could go away and say it's because of a great preaching. No, they went away saying it's the power of the Word of God. There's a story. I have not been able to confirm this, but I've heard it through a couple different pastors, so I believe it's true in the mouth of two or three witnesses. But I want to tell you, there's a minister up in Oregon. And he had gone to a state facility that housed those who were mentally disturbed. And he just asked, how can I help? Well, they hardly ever get volunteers like that. And so the next thing you know, they've told him, we want you to be the counselor to the worst segment of our hospital. They had a number of people, I think nearly 50 people, and it was in a lockdown facility, and pretty well the people were loose to walk around. And when he walked in, he realized, uh-oh, this is real, because they weren't dressed very well. You understand what I'm saying? And he tried to talk to people, and he couldn't get them in conversation. All he could hear from people were moans and groans and a demonic laughter. Now, if you've never heard that, well, I hope you don't. But that's all that he got. And so he's crying out to the Lord, Lord, what do I do here? I can't even converse with anybody. And this is what the Lord put in his heart, dropped in his heart. Get in the middle of the room and sit down and start singing my truth that I love. Well, what came to his mind? Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. And he began to sing that song, and he just sang it over and over for an hour. That's how long he had, was for an hour. No response. Went back the next day, same thing. By the time the week was over, listen to this. By the time the week was over, there were a few of them that started singing the song with him. This was no immediate thing. It took a few weeks. But after a few weeks of doing the same thing over and over for an hour, he began to sing it with more authority. He began to sing it louder. And you know what happened after a few weeks? Everybody in the room started singing it with him. Now, this is a documented story. What happened in a month's time of that happening is that there were 36 of them released from that facility to a self-care facility on the same grounds. Listen to me. Within a year, all but two of those 36 were dismissed from the hospital. I want to tell you, they couldn't brag on the counselor. It was a Jesus factor. Simply because he was taking a simple truth in the Word of God that is a very powerful truth that we can never walk away from. We can never outgrow. And he began to sing and profess and declare that Jesus loved you. Wow, somebody say amen to that. Amen. Well, the Word is Jesus. Well, we believe that. And Jesus is the Word. Somebody say amen. Amen. And you know what? We're to enjoy Jesus in the Word. That is a key. I'm going to share this with you in a minute. But we're to focus on Jesus in the Word. That makes a whole lot of difference. That gives you heaven glasses to see Jesus. And when you see Jesus in the Word, the Holy Spirit will reveal Jesus in your heart. Man, that sounds so simple, but sometimes it's so simple people bypass it. But what you see in here, see the love of Jesus. When you see the love of Jesus, guess what? Holy Spirit will show you hope. Because hope comes from love. And he'll paint the picture in your heart of what he's doing and what he wants to do and who you are in him. That's supernatural. Your brain can't make that happen. But I want to tell you, faith comes from that. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. And so hope before faith. And I want to tell you, it's very exciting because we're told to embrace faith and embrace righteousness. And so the Holy Spirit will give us greater and greater revelation of that. Romans 5:17, I covered it last week. I'm just going to mention, it's not in your notes, you can write it down. For if by the trespass of one man, who was that? Well, no, that was Adam. Trespass of one man, that was Adam. Because of Adam's sin, I jumped a little too quick. Because of Adam's sin, there resulted condemnation for all men. In other words, sin came, the sin of Adam was passed on to all of us. We get the experience of death, all forms of death in this life, because it wasn't in the Garden of Eden. It didn't happen till Adam sinned. The result of sin is the measurements or manifestations of death in our life that all came because of Adam. But listen to this. Here's the good news. Romans 5:17. Jesus came much more surely. Somebody say much more. You remember me describing it, the power of death, the power of sin, we have respect for, but it's way down here. The problem is a lot of believers believe more in the power of sin than they believe in the power of grace and righteousness. The Bible says much more powerful are those to those who receive the abundance of grace, more than enough grace, undeserved merit, the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness. It's not something we earn. Religion will tell you you got to earn it. You got to deserve it. No, it's by grace. The free gift of righteousness. When we embrace those two truths from Jesus, from the finished works, we will reign as kings in this life. We'll reign in this life through the one Jesus Christ. Is that powerful? I mean, that's why that through TNT preaching, any preaching done here, you're going to hear about grace and righteousness. We won't go very far from that. We won't go very far from love, hope, and faith, because I want to tell you, that's our love lane. That's how we walk in the abundance of Jesus. And the more revelation you get on this, the more you apply it and embrace it in your life, I want to tell you, it's impossible for you not to get freer and freer. Freer and freer. Because that's the walk of the abundant life. I'm going to tell you some wonderful things real quick about the Bible. This is the manufacturer's handbook. I can say all the answers of life are right here in this book. That's true. Everything that's preached must be preached with this book. It's got to be Jesus-centered, not social-centered, Jesus-centered. Word-based preaching. That's why that one of my themes this year in ministering, and you're helping me minister to pastors out there, one of my themes this year is that, guys, let's get back to the Bible. Get back to the Bible and let our preaching be Jesus-centered. Boy, you would think that wouldn't be a big reach, but it is for some. Because people get off track. The Word of God is God-breathed. Boy, that says a lot. All Scripture is inspired by God. Look at Proverbs 4, verse 20. My son or my daughter, attend to my words. And attend means be attentive. In other words, it's like pointing your antenna toward. I love to deer hunt because I don't do it anymore. But I used to love to deer hunt because I want to tell you they're amazing animals. And they're so wary. I mean, they're so amazing about how alert they are. And I want to tell you, if you get to watch them, you can watch their ears. And their ears will point to where they're focused. That's what he's saying to us. Turn your ears on. That's what truck drivers say. I got my ears on. I'm listening. I want to tell you, tune in. Get on the channel. Get on the Jesus channel and the Word of God. Give your focus to the words, Jesus and the Word. And it says consent. That means say yes to it. I want to tell you something that heaven loves to hear. Heaven loves to hear your yes even before Jesus says it. Wow. It's never wrong to say yes, but I'll tell you, when you approach the Lord in a worthy manner in the Word and you're saying, Lord, whatever you're saying to me, I'm saying yes to. It's your yes, and it's your submission. It means to embrace it, to apply it to your life, his sayings, his words. Let them not depart from your sight. Is that clear? I mean, keep them focused in your mind. Hey, don't get distracted. I know you got to do other things, but it can still be in the foremost part of your mind. I had a pastor challenge me on this one day. You can't do that. I said, yes, you can. I said, do you ever worry all day long? He said, yeah. I said, if you worry all day, you can meditate on the Lord all day. On the loving kindness, the goodness of God. Somebody say amen to that. Okay, it says, keep them in the center of your heart. There's a lot of different things you got to do all day, but let this be the center. Jesus loves to be in the center. He says, where two or three are gathered in my name, he said, there I am in the center. Hey, he loves that. Let him be that. Okay. Look what verse 22 says. If you will practice this, just say yes to the Lord. Let his word rule and reign in your life. Just embrace it. Look what verse 22 says. They are life. Somebody say Zoe life. It's the God kind of life. It will absolutely manifest in you through the power of his word. They're life to those who find them. There are some people that read it, don't find it. Some people do a Devo and don't find it. Some people have quiet times and don't find it. But I want to tell you, when you seek him in the word and focus on him, the Holy Spirit will reveal him and you'll find it. And it makes a whole lot of difference. Let me tell you one of the things it does. It causes your soul to prosper. If your soul's prospering and it is assumed that it will, because this is what we're here for, then I want to tell you, your body can prosper and everything you touch can prosper. That comes out of little John. Hey, look what it says right here. Healing and health to all their flesh from the Word of God. We have an advantage over the world in our health because we have the healer inside of us. Hey, we know what he paid for on the cross. We can practice remembering and receiving it, and his word is life to all of our flesh. Is that great news? Man, we have an advantage, don't we? Well, I want to tell you, Jonathan Edwards was a mighty American revivalist, and he preached during the 1700s, and he was really a primary part of God using for a mighty awakening here in America. It was quite an amazing story. I love to study those. I can't talk to you about it much, but he's really famous. Even today, there are a lot of ministries that use his sayings from the 1700s because he just seemed to have captured the heart of God. And one of the things that he said that's not repeated much, I'm going to tell you right now. And it went like this. He said, I can't really explain it because it's not on this level. He said, I can't really explain it, but the more time that I spend in God's word, the stronger my frame becomes. Now, I want to tell you, now, he was using Old English because they do back then. He wasn't speaking 2025 Texan, but it goes something like this. The frame is an Old English word for your body, for your health, your body. And so this is what he's saying. I don't completely understand this. I don't know how it happens. I can't explain it. But I'm telling you this. The more time that I spend in this word, the stronger my frame becomes. He's describing what we just read in Proverbs 4. Do you see that, saints? And so he is expressing the amazing power of the Word of God in renewal of our soul, transforming our mind, renewing our mind, reprogramming our computer, and the amazing transformation it can have on the inside and outside, even our health. This was his personal and continual testimony. And there are other testimonies, even in modern day, of that. There's a testimony just recently that I heard, and I haven't been able to confirm it, but this comes from a pastor that was at a conference, and there was a guy that was, he believes an unbeliever, wasn't even saved yet. But he got diagnosed. Prognosis was this. It's level 4 cancer, and it's serious, and you only got a little while, a few months to live. He goes home and tells his wife, I've only got a few months to live. She said, what are you going to do? And he just had this impulse in him. I think I'm going to read the Bible. And he did. And he read it over and over for a number of months. He's still alive. They called him back in to check on him. And they declared that he was healed. Now, at this point, he hadn't even received Christ. But he said, there's power in that book right there. There's power in that Bible. And he said, I know when I was reading that Bible over and over for hours, I would sense a release in my body. And I know God was doing something about that. Now, later, the testimony is he received Christ. But it was after he was healed. Does that shock anybody? Do you think that everybody that Jesus healed was saved beforehand? Come on now. You think everybody had the quiet time before they got healed? Nobody had a fuss with their wife the day they got healed? Come on now. I'm telling you, the power of grace and mercy and how the Lord loves to manifest in the Word. In 1980, I came to the Metroplex to go to school at Criswell Center. And there was a church there in the Mesquite area. Actually, it was further south than that. And they invited me to be a youth pastor there. I took it because they were going to allow me to continue to preach revivals and be a youth pastor when I didn't have a meeting. And so it was a unique situation, so I'm there. And I want to tell you, God did some amazing stuff there. We started out with 9 teenagers. And in 14 months, we baptized 87 people. I want to tell you, that was exciting. Woo! I ain't over it yet. That was exciting. But I want to tell you something. In the process of that, one of my staff members had a guy at work that was very lost. He was an alcoholic, had gone through a divorce. He was hurting and wounded. And he said, I want to bring him to the meeting because there's so much Jesus here, I think he'll get captured. And I said, bring him. And he did, and we were having volleyball tournament. We had a gym and had volleyball tournaments going that night. And we invited him to get out there and play volleyball. Well, I had to pull him aside because he kept cursing. Okay, this is just where he was from. He'd miss a ball, and he'd say a wordy dirt, you know. And so I pulled him aside. I said, hey, man, I'm glad you're here, but, you know, we don't really use that language, you know. I mean, around the teens. I know you probably do, but we don't do that around the teens because we're presenting Jesus to them. He said, really? And he looked at me and said, okay, I'll try. And he did. But I realized real quick, you know, I need to present Jesus to him. And I did. And you know what? Like he had heard it for the first time, he said, really? He said, well, that's great stuff. I said, yeah, it is. Do you want him? He said, yeah, I do. And he prayed and accepted Christ. And this is what I told him afterwards. I said, look, man, you go home and you read this Bible. You eat up this Bible. Because God will use this Bible to continue to transform you. And boy, he'll reprogram your computer. It's very powerful. And so he did. Now, I didn't know it at that time, but his buddy that invited him told me, he said he's an alcoholic. And what he does, he goes home after work every day and he drinks till he passes out. That's how he is surviving the hurt. But he was at a place that his mind really didn't work well. Now, he could do his job. He was a mechanic on big equipment. And it's amazing that he could do his job because if you handed him the newspaper and said, read this, he would maybe get a word or two and then it wouldn't connect. There was long pauses, even in communication. And he wasn't able to function well. And his buddy told me this. He said, his brain is pickled, brother, from alcohol. It's pickled. I said, okay, well, Jesus can deal with that. But anyway, he did what I said. Now, we tell everybody to get in the Word. He did it. And he went and read that Bible. And after a couple weeks, he came back and he said, what do I do next? I said, well, what do you mean? He said, well, I did it. I said, what'd you do? It wasn't even on my mind. He said, I read the Bible. I said, what part you read? He said, I read it all. Wow. And so it came to me. I said, do it again. And he did. So he would go home from work, and instead of drinking till he passed out, he would stay in the Bible till he went to sleep. That was hours. Every day in the Word. And he developed an appetite for clean water. Water that cleanses. The power of the Word of God that transformed. He became addicted to the Word. And I want to tell you, he went through the Bible 3 or 4 times back to back. And I want to tell you, then, not only could he read, but he could talk and he could testify. And I'm just telling you, before that year was over with, he was teaching and preaching for me. And he had such an awareness, such an ear for God that he developed from being in the Word, caused his hearing of the Lord to become so sensitive. Anybody believe that? I took him to one of the revivals, and just so I could spend time with him and pour into him, went to one of the revivals, and we're sitting in the meeting before service started, and there's a little lady sitting across the building. We're on one side. She's on the other side on the piano, and she's playing the piano, and he told me, he said, her name is Carol. The Lord just told me her name's Carol. And he said, the Lord just told me her heart's really broken, and he wants to heal her tonight. I said, man, that's powerful, T. Roy. That's powerful. And so I just did this because service hadn't started. We're pretty well in the building by ourselves. I said, hey, Carol. And she goes, yeah. I said, your heart's hurting. And she started crying at the piano. And I said, get your hopes up because Jesus is going to heal your heart tonight. And I want to tell you, the Lord did. Now, see, he had a sensitive ear to the Lord. And I want to tell you, I wish you could have heard, I wish I had some of his preaching videotaped. We didn't do that back then, but I want to tell you, his preaching was very blunt, to the point, a little rough, but I want to tell you, it was anointed, and it was very powerful. But that's the story of T. Roy, and that was just the Word of God having effect in his life, restored his mind, his hope, his love, his faith, healed his heart, And I want to tell you, as a teenager, I fell in love with Jesus. I mean, he captured me as a high school student. And I began to read the Bible. Now, the Bible that was given to me right after I committed myself to the Lord was a blue leather Bible. It was blue. And it was a red letter edition. Now, I want to tell you, I didn't know what to do. I didn't know any Bible. I didn't know much about Jesus. But I want to tell you what I did. I took those red letters because they said, that's the words of Jesus. I said, that's what I want to know. And so I just read the red over and over again. Now, I want to tell you, later on, I got some little pamphlets like the Quotations of Christ from Norman Vincent Peale. And there's another one, The Words, Sayings of the Master. I can't remember who did that. But I want to tell you, you could read through all the words that we got of Jesus speaking in a few minutes, get you a cup of coffee and read it again. But I want to tell you, the words are powerful. I was reading the red over and over, and I was praying for power. You know why I was praying for power? Because I knew I needed it. I wanted it. I got addicted watching and reading the words and the actions of Jesus because I learned as a teenager what he says and what he does is who he is in me. Now, that may sound real simple, but boy, that set me free. And so I just began to read the red and pray for power. Well, at 18 years old, just as soon as I graduated from high school, I was already traveling and preaching, and they had me preaching at a summer camp. And at 18 years old, I just out of high school, I didn't know the Bible. I'm telling you, I didn't know the Bible. People were getting saved. There were some sweet things happening wherever I was getting to go preach, and it was so exciting. But I want to tell you something. I'm there at this teen camp, and one of the pastors comes up, and he says, hey, I need you to do some counseling for me. I said, I don't know how. He said, no, I need you to do some counseling. I said, I don't counsel. I don't know how to counsel. He said, would you just talk to somebody I brought? I said, oh, yeah, I'll do that. And he said, well, this guy's 12 years old, and he's already been kicked out two schools in our area. And he said, we don't really like him at church. And he said, his family is trying to farm him out. He's already been in trouble with the law. He's 12 years old. I said, well, I'll talk to him. And so later on that afternoon, I was preaching the night services. So later on that afternoon, he pointed them out to me. I said, hey, you want to come visit with me? Let's go for a little walk. He said, yep. And so the camp was out in the country and had this long little road with ruts that went all the way back to the woods. It was about probably three-quarters of a mile down to the woods. And I said, let's just walk along this old road and let's just visit and talk. And so we're walking along there and talking a little bit. And, I said, Jesus has really changed my life. I know he can change your life. And when I said that, I was a little bit ahead of him because he stopped. And I heard this deep voice come out of a 12-year-old. It wasn't his voice. This was a deep, dark voice. And I turned around like this. I'm sure my eyes were real big, but I turned around like this. And out of that little boy's voice came this dark voice, cussing me every which way but loose. Called me everything I wasn't. Now, I want to tell you, I was raised rough. I was raised in locker rooms. I know what tough language is. On Halls Hill, my uncles, my dad could cuss up a storm. And they'd all laugh about it. They'd just say, what? Back up. Just left. He marking off a spot having a spell. That's what he does. And they'd laugh about it. I want to tell you, I got called things I'd never heard before. And I want to tell you something. It hit me real quick because I'd just been reading the words of Jesus. I saw Jesus deal with demons. I'd never been trained, never been schooled. But I want to tell you something. I just saw what Jesus did. Holy Spirit prompted me, just like when you're witnessing or testimony, he'll give you something and you say, wow, that was the Lord. It came just like that. And so I turned around and looked at this little guy. And I just said what Jesus said. Hey, you, get out of him. Go away. Don't come back. Jesus' name, go. That's all I knew. Well, I want to tell you that was enough. It was more than enough. He did kind of contorting of his body and his face, and next thing I knew, he just fell out on the ground. Well, I saw that happen with Jesus, so I know what to do here. And so I go up beside him and reached down and took his hand and just held his hand till he opened his eyes. And when he opened his eyes, I said, we're going to give our life to Jesus, okay? He said, yes, sir. And he prayed and received Christ and got up. And I want to tell you, his face looked different. Anybody believe that? His countenance was different. There was freedom in his life, liberty. On the way back,
all the way back down that same road, we were singing hymns about Jesus. And he was singing loud. And we get up close to camp. He said, I got to go call my parents. I said, that's a good idea. He said, I got to go tell my pastor. I said, that's a good idea. And he did. A week later, I got a call from the pastor. He said, look, man, this guy's different. His family sees it. The school sees it. And he called back the next week and he said, man, this guy has got a testimony and he's telling everybody that Jesus set him free. I said, that's a great test. Somebody give the Lord praise. Well, I want to tell you, this is what I mean by you just be in the Word and the Holy Spirit can give you the unction or the wisdom of what to do when you need to do it. Because you're here, your hearing and your heart is sensitive to His voice because you've been focused on Him. That's why we love to say, cherish His Word. Focus on Jesus. What He says plus what He does shows who He is. That's what the Holy Spirit does. Real easy. We've taught teens for decades that. WHS plus WHD, Holy Spirit will show you WHI, who He is. It's just a form of meditating on the Lord. Things happen when you do that. There are some pastors that we deal with. We deal with all kinds of pastors in different denominations. That's okay. We love that. We love pastors no matter what flag they're flying. But I want to tell you something. There's a number of them that would rather read a book than read the Bible. That's why it's really been birthed in my heart, and I'm saying this to saints as well as to shepherds. Let's get back to the Bible. Books are okay. I read one this week. Books are okay. Commentaries are okay. But I want to tell you what Brother Leonard Ravenhill used to tell me. Papa Ravenhill used to tell me this a number of times because I was with him for about 2 years every Thursday morning, and he'd say this. He said, son, and he called me Jim. I never corrected him. He said, Jim. I said, yes, sir. He said, don't be satisfied with dead men's brains when you can sit fresh at the feet of Jesus and receive holy bread that's got your name on it. Now, I want to tell you, that had impact on me. I hope it has impact on you. Now, he could say things a little strong, you know. I would probably say it a little nicer, but it affected me. I hope it affects you. But we need the aroma of fresh bread. You know how good it smells? You know how fresh bread draws you to the kitchen? I want to tell you, we need the aroma of fresh bread in us. In us! We need the aroma of fresh bread on us. There is a problem, even though we call this Freedom Life Fellowship on purpose, because it's the fellowship of Jesus amongst us that helps us all grow and develop in the Lord and be established. But I want to tell you, we can get things out of priority. We can become more focused on this level of fellowship and not practice this level of fellowship. But I'm announcing to you, this level of fellowship allows us to have great level of fellowship on this level. I hope I'm being plain. When you meet with Jesus in His Word, He fulfills you, He satisfies you, and then you have much to fellowship with other people about. Fresh water, right here. Pure water, right here. Let's hydrate. Fresh bread, right here. Let's feast on Him. He's the holy bread. Hey, the Bible talks about milk. It talks about bread. It talks about steak, right here in the Word of God. What's your diet look like? Hey, I'm going to confess to you, there are times that I'm not tuned in. Don't blame God. There are times that I'm hard of hearing. Don't blame God. There are times that I don't connect. Don't blame God. The problem's not on His end. The problem's on Tim's end. But I want to tell you, there may be, and I'm just sharing this with you to encourage you, there may be that you get up in the morning to focus on the Lord and seek the Lord, and we're distracted. Listen to me. There's traffic here. You know what I'm saying? I mean, busier than the Metroplex, traffic all across your mind. We don't tune in. We don't connect. It's more like dry cereal. So let me tell you what to do. Continue to ASK, ask, seek, and knock. Continue to approach the Lord in a worthy manner, because I want to tell you, He loves you so much that He'll create breakthrough. He'll take whatever's hardening your ears, your hearing, or dimming your sight. He will work in you to remove that, because he wants you to see him more than you want to see him. He wants you to hear him more than you want to hear him. And so he'll make it so if you'll just turn the direction of your heart toward him and the word, and watch what he'll do. Because I'm announcing to you, he will make it so. God loves to reveal. I like to say it like this. In the old, the new is hidden. In the Old Testament. Old covenant, new covenant. I don't have time to talk about this today. I got some things on it, but I don't have time to cover it. Y'all listen a little faster. But in the new, the old is open. In the old, the new is hidden, but in the new, the old is open. In the old, the new is concealed, but in the new, the old is revealed. Because you see Jesus. That's why I'm telling you it's important, even in the Old Testament, that you put your New Testament lens on. You put grace glasses on. You see the Old Testament through the life and the heartbeat and the words of Jesus. Are you with me? Man, that's all I got time to cover on that. In the Old Testament, there's a lot of types and shadows, and sometimes believers get caught in a shadow or a type. No, my friend, we've got the real. So don't get caught on a shadow. Don't let it be a stumble to you, because we've got the real. If you got the real, you don't need a shadow. There's some things you can tell about me by seeing my shadow. Yeah. Instead of looking like I play football, I look like a football. You can tell some things about me in the shadow. When you look at the shadows, I want to tell you, the New Testament says the Old Testament is given to, for us as types, as examples for us, as pictures. See it as a picture book to see Jesus. Because if you get stuck in the facts, you can miss him. If you get stuck on the shadow, you can miss him. Man, my dad showed me this years ago when all the grandkids had come in to see him. And he loves pictures of the kids on my phone, the grandkids. And all the kids were in, and I was trying to show him some pictures. And he said this. And when he says this, you know, I heard it all my life. Boy. You know it's corrective. Boy. I don't want to look at no pictures. I got the real thing here. Show me the pictures when the real thing's not here. I said, okay, I got you, Paps. I got you. But the Holy Spirit was speaking to me. We got the real. Focus on Jesus. Connect with the real. And the shadows will be like a puzzle that becomes clear. Wow. That's exciting. And I will tell you, my little grandkids, they love those little, I don't want to call them, kind of picture puzzles, you know, where you have to find the hidden thing there. Well, your generation, I can just say this, where's Waldo? You know what I'm talking about. Well, they got the little things, and the little grandkids love to do that, love to try to find them and everything. Look, that's what the Word of God is. It's treasure right here. Not everybody that applies their brain and their great education can get the insight. They don't get the treasure. It's written to your heart, not to your brain. But I'm telling you this, it's very, very exciting. You can seek the Lord, his heart in this, and the Word of God, hidden treasure. He will help you discover it. Proverbs 25:2 says this. It is the glory of God to conceal a thing, but it's the glory of kings to search out a thing. Hey, king's kids, it's to your honor and glory to find what the Father has hidden for you. He hadn't hidden it from you. He's hidden it for you. We're on a treasure discovery, treasure hunt. Come on. And so in the Bible, there is a code there. Man, you get the code, you get it. That's to meditate and focus on the Lord. Jesus is the Word. The Holy Spirit reveals the key. Seeing and hearing Jesus in the Word is the key. That's how the Word becomes alive, and it is alive to you. It's not information, it's revelation. It's not education, it's not written to the brain, it's written to your heart. It's a love story. That's why that we need that stethoscope that I showed you last week, and we put it on this, and we listen to his heartbeat. You got that, don't you? All right, let me tell you this example. This was about Brother Nick, Nicodemus. He came to Jesus by night because, you know, he was a leader of Israel. He was a master teacher. He was a master of Israel. But he saw that God was on Jesus. And he didn't try to explain it away. He wanted to interview Jesus about it. And so he came to Jesus.
And Jesus said, I don't understand why you don't understand this. You know the word so well. You're a master of Israel, but you don't know these things. You can't see from the physical that there's a spiritual. That's a key. You can't read this like a history book. You can't just study the facts. You can't get stuck on the law like the Jews were. They were stuck on the law. You know, when you get stuck on the law, you see God is mean, God is mad, God is sad. And God's someone you need to be afraid of. And so they didn't have that relationship that Father wanted. Jesus came to reveal Father. Hey, he's a great, great Father. And he's more about love than judgment. You see him as a judge. He wants you to see him as a loving Father. He came to reveal the Father. And Nick was having a problem with this. But that's where John 3:16 comes in. And you know that verse. He was talking about the love of God for the whole world. And it was just blowing your mind. Because they were focused on the law and focused on the fact that God was mad and sad and a judge, then they felt like that, no, he can't love us because we're not good enough. Oh, we're the only ones good enough, the only ones that obey everything to 600 and something laws. Okay, wait. See the love of the Father. That's the glasses. That's the grace glasses. See the love of the Father. And he described to Nick, he said this. He said, Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. See, this is picture book. Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness just as the Son must be lifted up. See, he's showing him a picture of himself in the Old Testament. Jesus is referring to the time that the children of Israel were murmuring and complaining, and fiery serpents came to attack. Now, I want to tell you something. Be advised about this. I'm going to tell you this real quick. The serpents were always in the wilderness. The serpents were always wanting to attack. But you see, when you're law-focused and rule-focused and you're believing God's mad and you look at that, what you see is judgment of God. I want to tell you what you see when you look at that picture through grace. They lowered the wall of protection by saying no to God over and over again. Complained and murmured against God. They invited the snakes to attack. Now, wait a minute. There's a picture of that for modern life. I'm just saying to you, fiery serpents were always in the wilderness. We see this. Kids raised in the concrete city in the Metroplex, they go to East Texas, West Texas, South Texas, North Texas. A lot of times they come back and they say, Papa T, we saw a snake. Yeah. They're always there. You just have lived in the concrete city and you don't realize it. They're always there. The serpents were always there. But I want to tell you, they were never invited to attack until complaining and murmuring lowered the hedge of protection. See, when you complain and murmur and complain, it'll come to the place the Lord will say, do you really, really want that? I guess I'll give you a sample of you really, really want. Now, we're talking Old Testament here. But listen at this. The snakes bit him. The Hebrew word for complain means spend the night. Isn't that interesting? There's also another word that goes with it, and it's called loon. Well, we borrow that term, loony. Loony. You know, loony tunes. They don't make sense. Loony. Complain, murmur means to spend the night. In other words, it's complaining is declaring that you're choosing to stay another night where you are. You say, I want to remain where I'm at. Wow. Hey. You praise, you get a raise. You give thanks, you get a raise. You praise, you get a raise. You complain, you remain. You see that? See, there's a picture here for us. Complaining is decreeing I'm requesting to stay in the same situation or worse. Serpents attack. God told Moses, make a bronze serpent, put it on a cross, put it on a pole, put it on a cross. Had to be a cross, you know, for the snake to be up there. Put it on a cross. See the cross. He lifted up the serpent on the cross. And the Bible's clear. Listen to me. It's clear. Whoever just looked upon the cross, looked at the snake, they were healed. And it didn't matter what level, stage 4,
It didn't matter what level of death they were at. All they had to do was look. You see, it's a faith look. Hope, faith. Look and you'll live. Look and live, my brother. That is a picture that he's showing Nick. The son must be lifted up. Hey, you look, you were healed, you received life. Do you see that? Those who did not look at the cross for their salvation, they were looking at the snakes. Does that happen? They were looking at the snakes. Wait. They were looking at their wounds. They were focused on their pain. They were focused on self. Let me tell you something. They died without salvation. Those who looked away from their symptoms and looked at the bronze serpent on the cross, they were healed. They lived. They received life. He's sharing this with Nick. The easiest thing for people to do is to look up. Look on Jesus. The Lord made it easy for us to receive. Just believe and look up. Confess it with your mouth. Jesus is Lord. Confess with your mouth what you're seeing in your heart about Jesus. Jesus told Nicodemus, even as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, the Son of Man must be lifted up. Jesus became our bronze serpent. You got to see this. This is the picture. He became our bronze serpent. I know at one time in my life I kind of struggled with this. Why wasn't it a lamb? Because he's the lamb. He is the lamb. But in this picture, he wants us to see that he became our snake for us. Father wants us to know that at the cross, Jesus became what we are that we might become who he is. Yes. 2 Corinthians 5:21, and I've got to wrap this. So 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. And so I want to tell you, this is powerful right here, if you'll catch this. You can see your sin on the cross. You can see your sickness on the cross, your addictions on the cross, your failures on the cross. You can see them on Jesus. That's when, my friend, something supernatural happens. And your sin, your sickness, your disease, your addictions, your condemnation loses power to rule over you because you see Jesus. Not because of your doing, it's because of your seeing. Anybody catch that? The judgment of our sin was placed on him. It's already been paid for by Jesus. God is so satisfied by Jesus' more than enough payment on the cross. More than enough. Sometimes they say, Pastor, you don't know what I've done. No. Wait. You don't know what all Jesus has done. His payment is much more. His payment, his love is greater than your wrong. His Christ again. Boy, I got scriptures for that that's in your notes. I hope you get the long notes because it's in there. I don't have time to preach it. He will not have Christ come to be crucified again. He will not judge those again for what when the payment has already been paid for. You know what we call that in our courts? Double jeopardy. Won't happen. I want to tell you about the universal court. Won't happen. He will not judge you what Jesus has already paid for. That's why I can say with holy boldness that we're free to receive his love, his acceptance, and his favor. That's what grace is. We get what Jesus is, and you've been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That's why I can say that God's not mad. God's glad because Jesus paid the price and took all the wrath of God for our sin on his own body. That we're free to run to him. Do you see that? Okay, I got a little picture here I want to show you, and I'm done. And, you know, I like pictures. And so we've already done that without the stethoscope. So I'm just going to bring this up here, and it's real simple, but I want you to catch it. And it goes like this. Now, gold, and matter of fact, bronze, the bronze serpent, bronze is a picture of judgment and power. And so let me just say, Jesus became the serpent for us. He became your wrong.
Hey, judgment was, our judgment was placed on him. God's judgment was placed on him. And the power of God's judgment set us free. Now, I want to tell you what gold represents, the righteousness. Gold in Scripture is a picture of the righteousness of God. And so because our sin was judged by the power of God, fire came upon him. The judgment consumed the sacrifice. Jesus, when he was more than paid for, he cried, "It is finished! It's more than paid for you." Well, I want to tell you, we get his righteousness. He took what we are, we become what he is. The righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Gold represents righteousness. If you've got any of this at the house, I think today it's worth $94,000, this size. And so a few of those will really bless us. You know, you're free to bring it. Don't bring it to me. But I want to tell you something. In this journey, it's a little hard to do like this, but I want to tell you, in this journey, we fall into mud. Oh, come on. We get dirt on us. And I want to tell you something. Sometimes we're overwhelmed on this level. And we get dirt. We get junk on us. We fall into a pit. And it don't always smell good, amen? But I want to ask you a question. Is this $94,000 bar still have value? What? Is it just as valuable? Is it just as real? Well, I want to tell you what happens, man. The washing of the water of the Word. Now, wait. People say, well, the blood of Jesus, blood of Jesus. Yes, blood of Jesus. That's what made this you. That's what made you this. It's the blood of Jesus that paid for your righteousness, his righteousness to be in you. And so this is what the blood of Jesus does. Now, I want to tell you, when you get covered, and we get covered sometime, we get stuff splashed on us. Hey, the butterfly can land in a trash can, but it don't become a worm again. And it don't stay in a trash can. You know what it does? It heads toward the flowers. I'm just announcing to you. This is what the washing of the Word of God does. You know, I wanted to make a big old mess out of here, and my wife talked me out of it. But I want to tell you something. The washing of the water of the... How shall a young man cleanse his way? But by the washing of the water of the Word of God. I'm telling you, the cleansing water. That's what Jesus said to the disciples. You're clean already. You've been pruned already by my words, by my sayings to you. This is the way God prefers it. He prefers to cleanse you of the junk that we pick up in this journey by the washing of the water of the Word. And you know what? You'll reflect who he really is. You know what? The more that we walk in the washing of the water of the Word, the more we look like him. We believe it. We receive it. Our computer's reprogrammed. I got one picture to show you. You got the picture of the tree? Look at this. Because do you remember the scripture? It talks about the vapor. Just the vapor, the breathing of the water. The smallest form of water is the vapor. Smallest quantity is vapor. But even the vapor of the Word, according to Job, a tree that looks broken, looks down, looks dead, can be revitalized because of the power of the water of the Word. This is a tree that fell years ago. But I want to tell you something. Some of you, your testimony is I've fallen. And the enemy's told you, you'll never be used of God. You'll never count. You'll always be third class in the kingdom of God. No, 1,000 times no. The Bible says there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, because the gift of righteousness is a forever gift. You didn't do anything to get it. You don't do anything to lose it. It's J-E-S-U-S, my friend. That's what Jesus is, and that's what Jesus does. This tree birthed new life because it touched the water. His water will bring new life to you. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we love you. Thank you for loving on us this morning. Lord Jesus, as your word says, we seek you, we consent to your words, we submit to your words. And Lord Jesus, we just believe because your word promises that your word will be life to us. We find it. You reveal it to us. It's life to us. And life and healing to all of our flesh, that it's your prayer and your desire for us to prosper in our soul, prosper in this world, and prosper even in our health. That is your will. And we say yes to your will, and we give you praise. Let's give the Lord a thank you this morning. Let's give the Lord praise. Amen.